One of the best things about the 21st century has been the variety of creative ways radio has evolved.
Really? That's one of the best things? It's not been the best century, then.
It's been slim. But the legacy of Marconi is in good hands with Alex Lefchik and the Midweek Drivettes. So we got that going for us.
Which is nice.
Well, I don't know. Multiverse of Madness. Maybe it's just the Eurovision Song Contest 2022. Still, it's nice to see Ukraine won, surprisingly enough. But they did, so there you go. And Britain came second. What a surprise there. Actually, it was a surprise. We'll hear both of them, if you haven't already. Let's turn to Natasha Watson in the joys of Australia, where she's currently recovering from gastro problems. I know. Just like the Eurovision Song Contest, or possibly after having seen Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. Either of those two could cause health issues. What are your thoughts, Natasha? Did you catch Eurovision?
Obviously, with a time difference, it's quite difficult for me to catch. So I kind of got snippets of it, actually. I got woken up this morning by my mum sort of excitingly texting me that we were winning. Or we were winning. And
well,
then later,
surely we would be Australia. And I don't think Australia actually came close, even though Australia are one of Europe's prime countries, basically. That's why they enter every year, obviously.
Of course, of course. No, my family and are big Eurovision fans, so they were definitely watching it. And I was sort of getting a live feed, even if I wasn't watching it. My mum was making sure I was involved in the process.
Yeah. Kathy's actually holding up the official line there. No doubt, Kathy, you were at the Eurovision Song Contest party that obviously throughout Lincoln, these things take place.
Yeah, no, we partied hard here in my flat last night. We, as a group, went hard together. I was really proud of the UK though, because I remember watching it last year and no one voted for you. No. And the fact that the jury was like, put UK at the top was, whoa. Although I think Spain was better, personally. That's just me.
And indeed, a number of kind of key things there. First of all, the politics behind the scenario and proving, as Yaz will confirm, that the power of TikTok is very great when it comes to influencing people and moving Britain up for the United Kingdom from 0 points on a regular basis up to second place. So, Yaz, did you follow Eurovision?
Unfortunately not, but I did get little updates from my flatmates a little around.
Just the best way, basically, in so many ways. I mean, again, we will give Natasha the chance to actually choose between two Eurovision entries, but we'll just have to see what happens. Let's move on to Mom. Well, it would be if it's from the MCU, and the title should be Wanda the Scarlet Witch, because let's face it, Doctor Strange doesn't really have a lead in this. So let's go for Mom, Multiverse of Madness. It's quite clear. It's in the title. If you're going to actually sort of hold people hostage and watch a TV series called WandaVision without any consequences whatsoever, why shouldn't you headline your own movie and simply wipe away the likes of Professor Xavier, Black Bolt, a number of key Illuminati, because you could just do it. What the hey? Natasha, are you still raving about Mom?
I really enjoyed this one. I know that's not the general critical response to this movie. I understand that it's not your personal theory either, Alex, after the conversation we had yesterday.
I think being Turning Red was a far better movie because it took hitherto uncovered event and actually made their own characters, created their own variety of aspects, created their own narrative, and didn't simply try to rework, and dare one say it, rewoke established intellectual properties. I'm just saying, it's Kevin Feige. Don't blame me, blame Kevin Feige.
I enjoyed this as a different offering to Marvel, and I think that's why I'm judging it in a different light, because I think up until this point, people have had a very set formula for how they think that Marvel should be. And I think that's generally based off of what we got with our first Avengers offering. So it needs to be funny. It needs to be quirky. The good guys need to win, and it needs to be clear villains, and it needs to be, I think there's a set formula that everyone is comfortable with Marvel being. And I think that this stepped outside of that. It was very dark and it was gritty, and we wouldn't necessarily typically see that from what most mainstream people would consider a Marvel movie. So I liked this grittier undertone. I liked I don't like gore, as we know from my dislike of horror, but I like
Sam Raimi. It's Living Dead. So obviously you're going to have some nods in the direction of that. And, you know, points for obviously having Bruce Campbell put in the traditional Campbell cameo appearance for all Sam Raimi movies.
I just thought that it was something different, and it was a bold move, and I know that it's obviously not paid off because not a lot of people have enjoyed it, but I just thought that it was a far more superior movie to actually Spider-Man No Way Home. And I know that's going to be a very controversial statement with me saying that, but a lot of people are comparing it to Spider-Man No Way Home for reasons, you know, obviously different cameos from different people. I won't go into that because we won't go into spoilers. But to be honest, I was bored for the entirety of the first half of Spider-Man No Way Home. I did not find it enjoyable until we got said spoiler that I'm not going to mention, although it's been a while after, but well, you know what I am alluding to. So whereas this gripped me and it held me all the way through. So I found that was much more successful. I can do an overview for people who have not yet seen this movie or do not yet know much about this movie.
Let's test the team. Yaz, you were talking about going to see Multiverse of Madness, Mom. Would you actually, have you been? Are you ready for this? Have you got any thoughts you'd like to share?
Unfortunately, not. I've been kind of spending my time at medical library, but
that's actually a better choice. In fact, given the choice between spending your time in a medical library or watching Multiverse of Madness, go for the medical library all the time. If Stephen Strange had done that, he wouldn't have had this problem in the first place. You know, sort out his grimoire, hand it over to Wanda the Scarlet Witch. To be fair, Elizabeth Olsen is a fine actor and produces some marvelous routines with this respect to this. I just think they're in breach of the Trades Descriptions Act by calling it a Doctor Strange movie. No, it's not. It's a Wanda the Scarlet Witch movie. End of. Kathy.
Oh, man. So I didn't get to see this, and I wanted to see this, but after hearing everyone, this is a brutal review, guys. I appreciate
you. You need to see it.
I mean, I trust you, Natasha. I always do. And I will see it, like, one way or another. And I just was surprised with your Spider-Man statement. I was like, oh, Okay. All right. Here we go. I will see it. It's going to happen. I'm into it. But like Yaz, I also will be spending a lot of time in the medical library in these next coming weeks. So it's one of those things. But I am trying to make time to go see it this week. So Natasha, I'm going to keep you updated. I think we can unite on this.
Of course, in terms of box office, unlike Spider-Man No Way Home, which continues to actually go in terms of making billions for Sony and 25% for Marvel, there's been an 82% box office fall off in 1 week with respect to Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. So somehow I get the feeling that the general word of mouth has not been great. And such a shame that Benedict Cumberbatch is kind of so restricted in the movie, as indeed is Patrick Stewart. But enough of that. What the hey? It's a way forward for phase four of the MCU, as it's clearly become. Natasha, let's talk you through. So, I mean, clearly you are the sole person on the sort of sequence who's been there and seen it twice, I believe. So clearly you have chance to reflect on this. And why is it that whereas Robin Pierce will go for a flat 7, you're going to go even 10?
Nine.
Okay.
I gave it a 9. I did not give it a 10 because I believe if I'm going to give something a 10, I have to emotionally connect with it on a level that is kind of, do you know what I mean? On another plane, thinking and feeling and speaking. Why did I give it a 9? I thought that it was a very impressive offer. I guess I just found it refreshing. I think in a time where I've sort of felt, well, we are in an age where we have been beaten over the head with this kind of genre of movie, be that via Marvel, be that via DC, be that via TV, we're getting a lot of superhero movies. And we do get with Marvel, as I said before, this kind of what to expect formula. We're going to get the jokes. We're going to get, you know, a lot of that kind of high-fiving, butt-whooping, kind of, yeah, we get that. I just liked that, as I said, that this was grittier, this was darker. There were scenes in this that I would not necessarily consider to be a Marvel movie. There are scenes, that particular one, I think Alex will know which I'm referring to when I say the tunnel scene, when they're running through the tunnel. That is not something, that felt very akin to a thriller. So I would not necessarily associate that with Marvel. Now, I know that's not going to be for everyone, and I was watching this thinking, oh, maybe not something to bring your 8-year-old to, which maybe Marvel has been come to associated with. But I just like that edgier undertone. And I also, I very much like where they've gone with Sochi's character. Sochi Gomez played America Chavez, who is this sort of, she's this youth who can, for those of you who haven't seen it, she's a youth who can travel through the multiverse. Now, she doesn't know why this is happening. She doesn't know how she's doing it, but she enlists Doc Strange to help her. And I think that the way that Sochi plays America Chavez is very interesting. I think she's going to be an interesting character to develop. Obviously, I can see them building up to the sort of whole new forming of the new wave of Avengers. I can see how she's going to fit into that, I think, if we're thinking sort of linearly with the comic books. But I think she's an interesting character. I like the dynamics of her with Benedict Cumberbatch. I thought they had a good dynamic. It was believable for me. I thought his sort of interactions with Rachel McAdams as Christine, that sort of longing and loss and It just felt like it was real emotions, especially, well, I mean, Elizabeth Olsen. I mean, let's go there. Let's go Scarlet Witch. I'm taking it you two have seen WandaVision, yes? I mean, that left Wanda in a very dark place. You know, how is she going to pick up from that? How is she going to work through those emotions? Or does she not work through those emotions? I just thought it was very...
Isn't this the whole point, though, Natasha, that actually, unless you've seen WandaVision, unless you've seen Loki, unless you've actually seen all the Disney Plus stuff, you're kind of not going to get a great deal from this particular aspect. If you want to actually go in cold, this is not going to help you at all, surely. And that's not a great movie, is it?
I think that you could say that about a number of things. I mean, you're a Star Wars fan, yes, Alex?
Beware the term fan. It has connotations of fanatic, and I've never, and indeed never had any intention of dressing up as Obi-Wan, Skywalker, or anybody from that point of view. So,
but I think you'd look really good doing it if you did dress up, Alex. Just letting you know.
I would love to see that. But you can appreciate the franchise, yes?
Yeah. Now,
if you've just seen the films, you get a grasp of what's going on. But I mean, if we've not seen Clone Wars, if we've not seen Rebels, if we've not seen some of the animated series, which arguably are very important, you are going to miss details, right? There's a whole backstory for Obi-Wan.
Let's bring on board the words of Robin Pierce, because let's face it, Richard Fitzwilliams is not going to necessarily review this, although he'll do it for the fans. And besides, he's in the Netherlands, so let's go for this. I'll quote directly from Robin's line here. But, and this is my own personal opinion, says Robin, since Endgame, with the exception of the two really great Spider-Man films, Marvel Studios seem a bit directionless and dependent on their second tier. Phase 4 seems to be meandering aimlessly. Before you start gathering at the gates to Geek Central with flaming torches and pitchforks, let me explain. Phase 4 started with Black Widow. It would have made more sense to start it with Spider-Man Far From Home. There we go. Black Widow was a flashback movie that really would have been better had we seen it before the character died in Endgame. We knew she was going to survive this film because we knew when in the future she was going to die. Other than that, it was great. A Bond movie if Marvel made Bond movies, but spoilt by its odd placement. It should have been produced and released before Infinity War to really resonate. Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings was fun, but again, a second-tier character, and it was the co-star Awkwafina who really made the film work. The Eternals was a huge misstep and is universally regarded as possibly the low point of the series. Again, not really characters known in the mainstream and presented here in a high-handed, almost pious manner. The film didn't inspire me to seek out the source material. The total opposite, in fact. Part of the problem is we've been spoilt by having major characters introduced and killed off, and they're not being replaced by other major characters. Shang-Chi is not a main eventer, and frankly, nobody I've spoken to seems to care whether we ever see the Eternals in a film again. The solution to this is simple. Now Marvel Studios have the rights, it's time to introduce some really high-profile heavy hitters into the ongoing Marvel movie universe. Bring on the Fantastic Four, debut the X-Men, they'll reinvigorate the whole franchise and take it to a whole new level. Individually, where's Daredevil? Where's Punisher? Let's have Namor facing the Fantastic Four. And for the love of Stan Lee, let's have proper Doctor Doom. The other problem I can see is particularly with this Doctor Strange film, to fully appreciate it, you need to have watched some of the TV series, including an older one that was cancelled after a handful of episodes. I can understand a mild crossover to tie up loose ends, but when the enjoyment, appreciation, and understanding of a film becomes heavily dependent on the cinema goer having watched a certain series, you're going to lose a lot of your audience. And once they've been turned off a franchise, it's hard to get them back, which is why he's actually given a rating of 7 out of 10. There we are. That's not my thoughts. The thoughts of Robin Pierce, quoted verbatim. And you can go to the Robin Pierce website to actually read the full article with spoilers as well, if you wish. So that, Natasha, would be one of the reasons why I think, I don't know. Or maybe it's just because actually Robin and myself were of a certain age. We just think we're too old for Marvel movies now. It's time to actually move on and grow up.
No, there's a lot of logic in what Robin's saying. And I agree with a lot of what Robin is saying. I would like to see a Fantastic Four movie. You know,
because you've killed off Reed Richards in Multiverse of Madness, surely.
But I would like to see it done properly. I would. The reincarnation we got a couple of years ago, my word, that was a car crash and should never have been made.
You're saying Josh Trank actually tanked on the movie, is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, big time. Let's get that on the record. No, I agree with a lot of what he is saying. And then you have arguments about, well, should people have to buy subscriptions to Disney to be able to understand things? However, there are people who will go and see this movie having not watched WandaVision. My father is going to be one of them. I literally summed it up for him in 2 minutes. Do you know what I mean? On the phone call the other day, what had happened in WandaVision, so that he understood going into this what had happened. I'm not saying he's going to get everything from this movie. This goes back to my Star Wars point. You don't necessarily need to know everything to still enjoy a movie. I'm just saying, now you won't necessarily get everything out of that movie. And maybe you would want to look at summaries. There's summaries online everywhere nowadays. If you wanted to find that spoiler in 5 seconds, you should need to do that to understand the movie. I'm just saying that standalone movies, it seems to be, there are standalone movies and they do work. When you have something like Marvel, are they ever really standalone anyway? Do you know what I mean? It's an interesting one.
Kathy, you're looking as though you're pondering, apart from the fact that you said, ooh, thriller, I'm there, in terms of clearly the notion of zombies, et cetera, and zombie strange and so on. Is this one for you, or are you still saying, no, I think actually the medical library is looking more appealing?
No, I mean, the thing is, I agree with a lot with what Natasha's saying. I mean, and I see what Robin's saying when you were reading his stuff, like, sure, but I think a lot of us understand that in Marvel movies, there's going to be a lot of connections to a variety of the Marvel franchise. They know that they've monopolized it. Like, we're all aware, it's not a surprise. But I think, I mean, if a movie has a solid plot, it should be okay to stand alone. You just won't get all of it as you would as someone who's like a devoted, hard fan to who's seen everything. But as long as the plot is solid, I don't see why not. And if Natasha is saying the plot is solid, I'm there. Like, why not? You know, maybe I won't catch everything because there's some Marvel films I haven't seen. I mean, I like to think I've caught up with the majority of them, but it's hard.
You haven't seen all 23 of them so far?
It's hard, Alex. You know, when you're trying to get a master's, and there's some things that are going to try to slip through. But I've seen a lot of these Marvel films where I know that I missed some of the things, but that didn't deter me from the film. I still was able to follow it. So now I'm going to go watch it. And I really like this character, but I do agree with Robin where I'm like, where's the Punisher? Why are we having a Daredevil? Like, come on, let's add more.
Or at least their female equivalents. No, sorry, I'm getting sort of too bound up with the big challenge that a lot of people are seeing in terms of, as they said, the MCU. Yes, let's turn to your good self. Again, as what Natasha's been saying, as what Robin's article been coming up with, influenced you at all? I mean, or is it a case of, I just don't know. I prefer DC, ultimately. They're much better.
I know. Robin's my guy, and I understand what he's saying. I saw Eternals, and I see what he means about, like, no one really, everyone's just like, okay, move on to the next with that. And so I guess I'm just going to have to watch it to get a straightforward opinion on it, to be honest.
And it's good to see hand acting coming into the fore there, because if you hand act on a regular basis, you can do all sorts of strange things that kind of, you know, impact on the magic, as well as possibly causing gastroenteritis problems. Never mind.
I think what we really need, though, is a battle with Alex and Robin, Natasha, Kathy, and Yaz, and really, like, nail it out there. Like, I think if we have, like, some sort of Marvel theme idea between us, we could really make a killing.
Kathy, we've already got enough battles with respect to Vladimir Putin and Finland and the new North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So let's not.
Could you imagine Richard, though? Could you? Like, imagine him being a team player. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Okay. So, Natasha, you're sticking with a 9. You're not going to be changed from that 9. You're basically going to say it's a definite 9. It's not a 10.
I'm sticking with my guns on this one. I know that it's the unpopular opinion, but I got to go with what the gut says, and the gut is telling me 9.
There you go. And let's move on from that to your choice in terms of musical choice. What would you like us to actually go with in terms of the selection from Eurovision? Would you like us to have the winner, of course, which is that Ukrainian band and organization and group, perhaps? I don't know, one or two things. Anyway, the Kalush Orchestra, to be precise, in Stefania. Or would you actually go down the line of the phenomenally second place Sam Ryder and Spaceman? Which one are you going to go for, Natasha? Spaceman and Sam Ryder, or the Kalush Orchestra?
I think in terms of the current sci-fi theme we've kind of got ongoing right now, I think we need to go with Spaceman. I think just to keep the themes.
If I was an astronaut, I'd be floating in midair, and a broken heart would just belong to someone else down there. I would be the center of my lonely universe, but I'm only human, and I'm crashing down to earth. If I was an astronaut, I'd have a bird's eye view. I'd circle around the world and keep on coming back to you. In my floating castle, I'd rub shoulders with the stars, but I'm only human, and I in the dark. I'm up in space now. For space, and I wanna go home. If I was an astronaut, I'd speak to satellites. My navigation systems would search for other life. Spaceman, and I wanna go home.
There you go, Sam Ryder, who apparently started it all off on TikTok via the pandemic. So there we are. Good news. A pandemic actually enables Britain to actually reach second place in the 2022 Eurovision Song Contest. Bit of a drastic approach to take, but obviously drastic techniques were actually required as far as that was concerned. So, Natasha, what do you have up your sleeve, apart from obviously sorting out your tummy troubles, for the next week in Australia?
Well, if you've got a moment, I'm happy to talk about the other film I've watched this weekend. I'm happy to talk a little bit about, I can try and sell the Adam Project, if you like, to...
I mean, for a moment, I thought you were going to go for the Adams Family too, which again would have sent us down a whole new sphere of experience, but no.
That's
the
a
Adam
great
Project,
movie.
The SF, Amazon Prime scenario. Take it away, Natasha.
Yeah, so this might not be a very mainstream, well-known one, but you can find this on Netflix. So The Adams Project was released March this year, and it is an American science fiction adventure film, and it is directed by Sean Levy, and it stars Ryan Reynolds, Mark Ruffalo, Jennifer Garner, Walker Scobell, and it is actually a surprising little ditty. I did enjoy this one. I looked at the trailer for this. I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds, so you had me at Ryan Reynolds, right? I didn't even need to watch the trailer for this before I saw it, but yeah, I looked at the trailer and I thought, okay, this is gonna be middle of the road sci-fi. And yeah, watching it, the physics do not make sense, but hey, when do physics ever make sense in sci-fi? You tell me. If you can disregard that, you're actually in for quite a little bit of a treat with this one. I enjoyed this very much. So we start in dystopian 2050, and we have fighter pilot Adam Reed. Now, he's played by Ryan Reynolds, And it's apparent that he is on the run. We believe he's stolen a jet. And he is about to jump through a massive wormhole. Now, where is he going? Well, suddenly we cut back to 2022. Ooh, links to this current time. No pandemic mentions, though, which is interesting if you think about it. And we meet 12-year-old Adam Reed, whose father has sadly recently passed. And he is living with his mom, played by Jennifer Gardner. And yeah, he's not having a good time of things. He's getting bullied. He's giving his mom a hard time. He's getting suspended from school. It is not looking all rosy for this guy. Typical other, you know, puberty issues and yada, 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 yada. You know, all the good stuff going on there for 12-year-old boys. And suddenly, one night, when his mom goes out on a date, he goes down to the shed because he hears a disturbance. And my word, there is a spaceship in his garden. I know this is all sounding very, very kind of sort of whimsical and funny and laughable. And it oddly works. It oddly works. It seems plausible, even though it shouldn't be, just the way that it makes it work. I think it's just the sassiness of Ryan Reynolds and his pairing with Walker Scobell. The two of them vibe very well together. And I think that's what kind of makes it believable, even though it shouldn't be. So anyway, he meets his younger self. Does not take younger self very long to work out that it is his older self. And here we go off on this fun little sci-fi adventure. Why has he come back? Who is he looking for? He says he's come back to save someone in 2018, but oh, oops-a-daisy, he's missed the wrong date. What's he going to do? His spaceship won't respond to him because he's injured. Oh, if only he had a direct DNA replica of himself to help him fly the spaceship. What happens when all the bad guys come after them? What happens when his mom's date does not go well and his dwindling relationship with the son explodes? What's going to happen when the house blows up? Who knows? But I actually did enjoy this movie, not for the action scenes, but for the tender moments. There are actually some very sweet little moments in this, some beautiful little lines that actually really stuck with me for a moment. And I say that I won't give a movie a good review unless it makes me feel something. And this movie made me feel something. Kathy, heads up, I did cry at the end. So actually, I would say, yeah. Is it completely farcical? Yes, it is. It is not a believable plot. If you actually picked it apart, no, it's not. Are the physics believable? No, they are terrible. But is it satisfying? Yes. Does it sort of make you feel things? Yes, it does. Do I love some of those little beautiful pure moments of dialogue where it just clicks and it works and you go, oh, you know, those little moments? Yes, I did have those moments. So I'm going to give this movie an 8. I started this movie on a 7. I'm thinking, solid seven. It's okay. It's a fun movie. And yeah, towards the second half of the movie, particularly the last like third of this movie, We're getting to 8 territory, because that's when, like, I think the good, really meaty lines kicked in, and I started to get teary, and I started to go, oh, yeah, you've got me. It does surprise you, this movie, and it does grow on you. So yes, I would recommend this movie.
You've got Mark Ruffalo, you've got Jennifer Garner, you've got a whole range of other fine folk there, and indeed Zoe Saldana also there. So you've clearly got a very experience cast when it comes to Alias, when it comes to Incredible Hulk, when it comes to obviously Deadpool, when it comes to Star Trek, and indeed Avatar. And clearly it's not a multiverse of madness. But the key question is, Kathy, is it one that would appeal to your good self, the Adam Project? Is it one for you?
Actually, I did watch this, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I really enjoyed it, exactly as Natasha explained. What's funny is I was watching it in the common room of my living area, and I was first watching it with my sister, and then slowly my flatmate came in, and she was like, oh, after 5 minutes, she's like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch this. And
when
then
you my say, next Kathy, flatmate, your flatmate came in slowly, was that a case of she was in slow motion? Was she actually just walking very slowly, or was it just a case of she normally comes in very quickly?
Yeah, as in, like, it grabbed her attention, so she was like, I'm going to hang out, and then all of a sudden she stayed. And then it's the exact same pattern to my two other flatmates. They were like, oh, this is, even one of them came halfway through and he sat down and was like, no, I'm in it. Like, here we go. It really grabbed the attention. And I mean, the best parts is definitely the witty remarks, the quips, especially between Ryan Reynolds' adult and younger character kind of idea. And it's, there's a lot of great relationships that you're seeing going through this. You're absolutely right. The sci-fi, the logic is, but I don't think that's, I mean, although it is a major part of the plot, it's not really your focus. You're kind of focusing on this character development that's kind of happening, as well as a little bit of action and fun. So I enjoyed it and I give it the same rating, 8 out of 10.
And obviously, after, I mean, how many people are accidentally crash landing in 2022, teaming up with your 12-year-old selves in a mission to save the future? I mean, I would have thought it's almost a cliched line, really. Probably much more believable, actually, than what happens with Stephen Strange dreaming about a young woman actually running across all sorts of dimensions to save the multiverse. But that's another issue. Yaz, what about yourself? The Adam Project, one for you.
Actually, quite interesting. I keep passing it on Netflix. I'm just like, I kind of want to watch it. But maybe not now. And I feel like this is definitely now said, okay, watch it.
It's gone from maybe to you will be, which is all good from that point of view. Excellent. So let's go back to that original question before we went down the line of the Adam Project. Anything else that you have in mind, Natasha? Or is it a case of, well, all of Australia is just gearing itself up for huge celebrations with respect to the upcoming Platinum Jubilee?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I haven't heard a lot of royal news at the minute on the news. I think it's just got to that point where we're so tunnel visioned with our own federal elections that nothing else is really making the news. Scott Morrison may or may not, our prime minister may or may not have made a little bit of a verbal faux pas the other day on his election campaign. So that's kind of taking prominence right now and sort of taking the bid. But in terms of movies and what I'm looking to, obviously I didn't get to see Sonic 2 this weekend for obvious reasons. Don't want to infect an entire cinema with and projectile vomit over them. But
mind you, what a wonderful effect that would actually be at certain key points in the movie if you could add that to the mix. I mean, surely that's audience interactivity, which will clearly actually get more people going to the cinema if they get that opportunity. I'm just saying.
I mean, if we're talking 4D, Alex, yeah, but it might lose some points because I know you would definitely mark a movie down for such dynamics.
I'm afraid so, yeah.
But I am hoping to be better because I'm hoping to go to the theatre actually for the first time since I moved to Adelaide next week, and I am very excited. I'm going to go see Six. I don't know if that's a musical that anyone here is familiar with. It's something that I wanted to see originally before I moved to Australia, and then the pandemic happened and I never really kind of got a chance to do that. So I'm going to see that next weekend. I'm very excited. For those of you who don't know what Six is, check it out. It is kind of like the Spice Girls if the Spice Girls were the wives of Henry VIII. So yeah, if that sounds like it would appeal to you, if you're in for Sam,
I'm sure it sounded like a great idea when they came up with it over a kind of drunken early morning sequence. But you know, somehow I'm honestly not sure, and it could be easily confused, of course, with the two seasons of Six, where it's basically all about a United States Navy SEAL team called Six going on a mission to eliminate a Taliban leader in Afghanistan. No, that's Six, the TV series. This is Six, the musical, where basically you have the creation of Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss. And, prepare to lose your head and experience the Tudor wives' lives. See what they did there.
Pretty much, yeah. Although if we do get some Navy SEALs, do you know what? I bet that would make great theatre as well. I'm not quite sure I'd want to see the Six TV series as a musical retelling, but hey, that could open up some creative artistic avenues for everyone involved.
And maybe feature Doctor Strange in a cameo role, and then you've got the third in the Doctor Strange scenario coming through, which is great. Good work for Benedict.
I mean, only if it features Benedict Wong. I will only go and see it if it features Benedict Wong, because, yeah, he some movies for me.
Maybe one of these days he might actually be the Sorcerer Supreme. Well, actually Benedict Wong is, but I'm talking Stephen Strange. But then again, what the hey. Yes, Six for you, Six the musical, or Six of one, half a dozen of the other?
I'm quite interested in musicals. I think they kind of hit me by storm. You know, it's not something that I'll usually watch. Then someone's like, let's watch it. I watch it, and then I'm attached. That's how musicals are for me. So I'm definitely quite interested. Spice Girls, Henry VIII, I'm there.
And Kathy, after Eurovision, of course, and the sheer joy and delight of the Ukraine winning, which we'll hear in a few seconds, any thoughts for yourself about Six the Musical? Is it something which you think, I must check that out?
Absolutely. It's funny because I never heard about this musical until maybe 3-4 months ago. I had a friend who gave me kind of the rundown about it. And this is definitely something I'm into. I've seen one of the songs on YouTube and I was like, yep, yeah, I would watch this. Absolutely. Let's hear the perspective of the wives.
And on that point, Kathy Manso, Yaz Zagraff, Natasha Wanton, huge thanks. If you're wondering where Richard Fitzwilliams is, and you haven't been paying attention, he's looking at old houses in Holland, I think, or something like that, or he's in the Netherlands. Doubtless going to be replete with all sorts of exciting things when he returns in the very near future. For now, though, huge thanks, and keep on watching the movies. Stefania, mamo, mamo, Stefania, rozkwitaje pole, a wona sywije. Zaspiewaj meni, mamo, kolyskowu, chociaż jeszcze poczuty twoje rite słowo. Bo na mene kolesala dala meni rytm i napane solo, bole nie zabrato mene, bo dala, bo na mene znala, może bilczy i wit Solomona. Lomanymi dorohami prejdu, ja zaspię do tebe, bo na nero zbudyć, ty budyć. Мене в сині бурі забере бабулі, відулі, ніби вони кулі. Дуже добре знала мене, не була обманута, як було дуже втомлена, гойдала мене так. Я не мала дитина, бо надалі нерви тратить, я гуляв.